Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's April 5th, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And we're coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains, specifically from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
Hello, my dear.
And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conscious conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, fabulously healthy, delicious food, and
Universe Spirit, awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Tonight's focus is, there you have it. There you have it. It raises some questions, doesn't it? Like, well, what do we have and why do we have it? Do we have enough of it? Too much of it? What's it? And who's to say? No. That's another program. Simply stated, there you have it, according to Mr. Webster, means used to draw attention to a fact or to emphasize the simplicity of a process or action.
There you have it.
We'll call upon some of our resident experts, of course, our delight in characters, to help us recognize what we have and what we can do with and about it. So let's see if we can simplify some of the causes, since it's about simplicity, behind the stressors of life, the things that bug us and cause us consternation. Maybe we can identify some simple solutions. Or at the least, let's have a whopping good time. Rochelle?
There you have it. Is it there or is it here that we have it? And what do we have when we have it? There is a magic trick where the magician puts an egg into a paper, folds it up, and smashes the paper. But there's no egg in the paper. It wasn't there. It was there, but then it wasn't. We are here, and then we won't be. So there you have it. Gravity exists on planet Earth, and all living beings die to be absorbed into the ether of consciousness. So there you have it.
Speaking of it, I saw this article in Time magazine this week, and I thought it was appropriate for what we're talking about, our obsession with stuff. It says, even in frugal Germany, the average person owns, how many do you think, objects?
Oh, a lot, I'm sure.
10,000.
10,000?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I couldn't even count.
And as a whole, our trash has clogged the ocean surfaces with 18,000 pieces of plastic per square kilometer.
Oh, my God.
This is from a new book called Empire of Things. Suggests that can't reverse the course without acknowledging how emotionally attached we have become to our possessions.
Oh, I know I am.
This really hits home. I love my possessions. I'm very possessive, actually, of my possessions. So people, if they want to mess with my possessions, they're going to have to deal with my addiction, actually, to my possessions. I started to say obsessions.
You're obsessed over your possessions.
I am. I have an obsession over possession.
And I have possessions in storage. I still have obsession over my possessions. even though I haven't seen them in 3 years.
I have obsession over things that are like 30 years ago. Where is that? We're still looking for a baby spoon from our son, Lev, who's 38 years old. And periodically, when I look around, I almost think I found it.
Yes, it just disappeared. Yeah. We never did find it. And the interesting thing is there were things that I was really holding on to, thinking, oh, when I have a grandchild, this spoon will go to that grandchild. And the father of that grandchild, our son, said to me the other day, oh, well, those kind of spoons we don't use anymore to feed babies.
What a relief.
Relief? I mean, I have that spoon. Well,
he doesn't even want it.
No. The spoon I have that I would give him. So I'm just going to wait until she's a little older and she could appreciate a tiny little spoon.
Well, as we said, we're going to kind of look at the it and all the itness of life, how we make things its.
Its have to fit.
Fits for its. Its throw fits.
It has to fit to have meaning for us. It fits into some part of our consciousness and part of our scenario. This is the scenario of my life, and this is what belongs in it. And that's how it stays with us.
Do you know how happy it makes me feel when I see the UPS truck pull up?
It's bringing you more its.
They're going to be in a package, and if I'm lucky, I will have forgotten what that it was going to be that arrives. It's a surprise. I get those periodically. I go, what is that? And sure enough, it's a surprise. But it's always an it. And that's because we want to deal with the it factor.
What is that? Ipso.
The ipso factor? It factor? I don't know. But let's invite one of our characters to come in and share with us. Lord Umbridge, you usually like to kick things off. What do you got? What I have is observations about the nature of it and its relationship to everything else. Not just what's it, but just what the other it's. Once having said that, I'll be able to say, there you have it. The universe is filled with it's, as you know, and things are becoming more and more distinct all the time and complex, and every distinct little it has its own resonance, its own sound, its own wave, its own personality, if you will. Look at all the its that have become thous on your planet, for example. I'm talking about the mortal, conscious-minded beings that you have here. Now, here's the problem. Some of them, us, I include myself in this, of course, because I tend to follow along right along with it. It. Yes, you heard me correct. We tend to deal with ourselves and each other as if we were its. We talk about ourselves as if we were like some phenomenon. Well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm working hard. Oh, that's who you are? Oh, I'm eating a sandwich. Oh, you're eating a sandwich. Oh, so it is our actions. Or it's all things. The point is that as we continue to relate to each other as it's, we miss the most sublime opportunity to recognize trans-it. Yes, we've developed trans-it, as in trans-end. Remember when we came up with trans-end, we thought there was an end, and then we transcended it. That was some time back, actually, in the early part of the other century. But the it, you see, we want to transcend it. And when you transcend it, all of a sudden, you have a different perspective about what's actually real. And you begin to see the it for what it is, which is patterns of waves and energies pulsating in such a way as to attract your attention and invite your response. That's all there are. They're just these pulsating energies. So, there you have it.
That's fun. I like pulsating energy. I like even being pulsating energy.
Well, you remind me often of pulsating energy, Michelle.
There you have it. I'm pulsating energy. I don't know why this came into my brain as you were talking. I was thinking how it began. There was us. We could have been thought of as an it, but the it seems to be something that came out of us. We used our hands to eat. And then somewhere along the line, somebody created something that was between us and the food, which was an it, like a spoon or a thing that you scooped up your food in and ate it with. Then we had an it because it came out of us and it was a little bit separate from us. It wasn't us. So it took on an itness.
It was one of the first itnesses. They recorded in a scientific dig in, I think it was Bermuda. They were digging down and they found some of the first its. They said something like made in Burma or something.
Oh, but Carol, you are just so bad. You're such a bad person when you do things like that. You give me this look as he's saying these things like, how could you think that's true? One of the first its had to be a weapon.
You all remember, you listener there, do you remember 2001 when the ape found the stick that he could beat somebody over the head with it and not hurt his hand? Kind of like we're doing now with all these
drones.
Exactly, so we don't hurt ourselves while we're inflicting the most possible damage on the other fellow. That to me is the maximization of turning each other into its. But I think it's important to be mindful of the profundity of it.
I've been slipping on banana peels since I got out of bed. Running round in circles till my face turned red. Falling out a window, landing on my head. It's a miracle of science that I ain't dead. Ain't no use, hey, can't you see? Terrible things keep happening to me. It's kind of hard to believe that I made it this far. There you have it, there you are. I've been stretched like a rubber band strung like wire. Bumped up and punctured like a bicycle tire. Last time I checked, my hair was on fire. My car got broken into by the tabernacle choir. Ain't no use, can't you see? Terrible things keep happening to me. You have to admit that it's kind of bizarre. But there you have it, there you are.
There you have it, there you are.
Now, I don't like to make a fuss. I say let the chips fall where they will. But I'm starting to feel like Sisyphus. Rolling a great big rock uphill. I've been stapled to a chicken and thrown outdoors. Chased by ravenous dinosaurs. Hit by several meteors. I just ran out of metaphors. Ain't no use, can't you see? Terrible things keep happening to me. It's downright irregular. There you have it, there you are. There you have it, there you are.
Well, there you have it, thank you. Andy Corwin singing, There You Have It, There You Are.
He got confused, he thought he was an it.
He got sucked into the it thing that is so tempting. There was a book called Andersonville, a novel, and then there was a fabulous play based upon it called The Andersonville Trial. One of the best things, I have to say, I've ever seen on television. It was the trial of the commander of the Southern prison camp, meaning Union prisoners were stored there. The conditions were unbelievably terrible, to say the least. He was the only Confederate who was ever put on trial for essentially a war crime. The only one. His name was Captain Wirtz, German fellow. He was challenged. Why did you treat them so terribly? Why did you allow this horror? People could smell the camp from 5 miles away because of the stench. He's pushed by the, not the defense attorney, but the other guy.
Prosecuting
attorney. That guy, yeah. Till he finally loses it. He says something like, they were all ants. I saw them as bugs, and they were like crawling all over me, and I had to get rid of them. I couldn't stand them. Or worse to that effect.
Like concentration camps, too. It's the same thing that took place in our time. They were not seen as human.
If I may jump in here, besides reading that character's lines, which I was very happy to do, this is Professor Schnitzel. You're talking about turning people into ids, and of course we are from Germany, Deutschland, and we carry this legacy of guilt for generations of that we could have done such a thing as turning them not just into an it, but an it that is filled with horrible aspects. So anathema, that's a good word, anathema. Well, that means very anathematic. Disturbing that we have to get rid of them at all costs. And there we have it right now in the world, which is people trying to kill each other everywhere and are killing and making each other its. The question I ask is, what will it take to begin to help us who see each other as its into persons, into the Taos, that we can feel connection and compassion actually begin to create with? What will it take? I go back to not so very long ago when the countries of Europe were all fighting each other. Germany and France and fighting England, Russia and the Balkan countries and everybody. And if you even go back further, if you had told these people back in the 1800s, the 1700s, you countries will all be one united union, they would probably think I was possessed. Obsessed by a possession. Being obsessed possessively by something. And yet here we are, having the European Union. Admittedly, it's beginning, it's struggling along, it's constantly confronted by challenges and opportunities. What we do with it is got to say a lot about who we are, what we are choosing in life. There you have it.
There you have it, that's right. Wasn't it you, Errol, who, always quoting from Martin Buber, we move from an it to a thou, encompassing ourselves with the other, bringing ourselves into the other. The it is left behind when that happens.
But it's not just it, it's have, having it. Like, there you have it. One of the things I have come to realize is that there's having, there's doing, and then there's being. We get them mixed up. My friend Barry, brilliant man, used to emphasize this. We tend to think, well, if I do, then I'll have, and then I'll be. What we've come to realize as we've delved into and deepened into what we are finding is more reliably authentic piece of information is that it actually starts with being. You can never get to being through doing and having. Being comes first. You are. And then out of who you be, then you do and then you have. That's why the main lesson that I'm working on and getting from Yeshua right now is the will of the source is for me to be the love that I am. And out of that being, the doing and the having follow. And of course, we just hope we'll get to have lots of things and it's as a bonus.
We call that spiritual materialism.
Exactly.
I will be a spiritual person so I can have a lot of things.
Yeah, isn't that true?
But can you be spiritual without a lot of things?
Well, actually, some would say that it's more likely to happen the fewer things you have because we're not so easily distracted by all the things. They do actually, by interacting with the things, keep us from making choices that are more living.
I think that happens because we identify so much with those it's. We go, well, I have that, and I have that, and I have that, therefore I am, I am, I am. So the having really identifies us, which makes it difficult to let go of it. And I don't think that getting rid of everything gives you freedom. You can have freedom with a lot of things. Freedom is a state of mind. It doesn't matter if you have the things or not. So if you have them, do you have them? If you don't have them, you don't have them. But I don't think you have to make a choice to get rid of things to be more realized, only because I don't want to get rid of things.
So we're sacrificing self-realization here for just a little while longer while we...
Delusion.
While we embrace and be ensconced in the delusion.
I'm tickled pink that things aren't going my way, 'cause that would be boring. Spend my last cent on cheese and champagne. What a wonderful morning. Never mind, she declined to the first date. It was only on my birthday. Never mind all the lines on the highway. Give me time to reflect a bit, 'cause I'm just having a good day. Having a good day. Having a from here, but sometimes I wonder, I might have met the love of my life, but I lost a number. Never mind, she declined to the first date. I went to Vegas with a roommate. Never mind all the lines on the highway. I aim to misbehave, 'cause I'm just having a good day. Having a good day. Having a real good morning. I'm just having time, having a bad day, yeah, a real good morning, a real good morning. I'm just having a good day, having a good day, having a real good morning, a real good morning.
Having a Good Day by Ben Hurd. Oh, what? Oh, Father O'Reilly, of course. I knew you'd have something to say. This is our dear friend, Father, excuse me, did I say O'Reilly? I so apologize. I used to know an O'Reilly. Oh, don't mind it there. People, O'Malley, it's my name, of course. There, people think O'Reilly or wrongly or anything. Oh, you say, oh, on the street there, and I right away start to turn because I think the melee's going to follow with the O. But sometimes it's oh, and there's a second O right behind the first one, and they didn't say O'Malley, they said oh. Then they say Father O'Malley as they point to the problems they're having with their its.
Oh, Father O'Malley, you're so funny.
No, it's true there.
Right.
My parishioners, they come up to me. They're very excited about their ids, especially the little ones. But you think after we get a little bit further along there, it's not so much the ids. And I'm so happy to say that there are many people that come into my world there that are actually feeling their way into the, what you call it, their era, a transit. I love that. They're in the transit, which is being in transit, which is moving along there, and they're in motion. The danger, of course, is when you attach to the it, it'll drag you right where it's headed. And you know where every it is headed there, darling? To its demise. There, yes. You have it.
It does lead to demise. The word you used in talking just now when you said attached, that's the secret. And of course, a lot of my Buddhist friends are always talking about detachment, detaching from the world, not being of the world. You can be in it, but not of it. And I think it was Jesus who used that phrase.
Well, let's look a little further and more deeply into that phrase, to be in the world. That means you're interacting, but you don't see yourself, what, as of this world?
You're not it. It doesn't have you and you don't have it.
So it's a mutual lose-lose situation in a win-win sort of way.
You could say that. I mean, you could say anything you wanted.
There you have it.
The realization that I could be surrounded by many things that are beautiful. I like beauty. I like to be in beauty. I like to have beauty outside my world, trees, nature's beauty. And inside, I like to have man, woman's beauty, but the artistry of humans.
That's
things
why
they create that are beautiful. I really love that. That's my it, where I'm fallible with it.
I have several kinds of its. One are wires. I have wires. It seems like I never have the right wire, which is why I have many wires. Those are my its. And bags. I love bags, especially when they have pockets. Now, one of the best bags I ever had had so many cleverly placed pockets that I would lose things in them and not be able to find them. Things that I really needed. They would get lost in these pockets. I don't use that bag so much anymore.
There you have it.
I can get rid of that bag. As a matter of fact, half the handle was broken, and I was determined to use that bag. So I found a shoestring to be able to hook to the second side of the handle, and I got it to the exact length between the raised top of the handle and the little thing it could hold onto at the bottom. So if you ever see me walking through the airport terminal and you see a handle on one side and a shoestring on the other, that would be me.
There you have it, folks. That's Errol giving you all his peculiarities, the things that make him unique and distinct in this world. A little crazy, maybe, but definitely unique and distinct. You like containers. I think it's about containers.
And I also have this thing where when I see something isn't working, I immediately go into, maybe we can find a way to make that work. Constantly, anytime I bump up against that. Sometimes there are things that I can actually make work. And that's, of course, very gratifying. And sometimes there are things that are best left not dealt with. You can't go after every thing that's needing fixing just because it says, fix me, fix me. Or in its original language, that's the squeaky wheel.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Fella with a million smackers and nervous indigestion. Rich fella eating milk and crackers. I'll ask you one question, you silly so-and-so. With all your dough, are you having any fun? What you getting out of living? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laughs? Are you getting any loving? If other people do so, can you have a little fun? After the honey's in the comb, little bees go out and play. Even the old gray man down home has gotta have hay. Better have some fun. You ain't gonna live forever. Before you're old and gray, it's still okay. Have your little fun, son. Have your little fun. Why do you work and slave and save? Life is full of ifs and buts. You know, the squirrels save and save. And what have they got? Nuts! Better have some fun. You ain't gonna live forever. Before you're old and gray, still okay. Have your little fun, son. Have your little fun.
Are you having any fun? With Tony Bennett and Elvis Costello. I would like to invite Rabbi Greenberg to talk about, there you have it. What do you notice about that? Well, of course, there you have it. It's so simple and obvious, and there it is. And you say to the people, there you have it. And they go, what? And I said, there it is, there you have it. Because they say, who am I? What am I doing? What should I do? And I say, go look in the mirror and say to yourself, there you have it. And you'll notice you'll be saying it right back to you at the same time. That's how you know you have it, because it repeats itself. Especially if you put two mirrors facing each other. Did you ever notice that? And they turn into multiple mirrors. They mate infinitely. Just put the mirrors in front of each other. They go on internally. Do you ever see the end of the other mirror when they stop seeing that picture? It's the same with people. When people can mirror each other, when they look at each other, essentially the same thing, then they will see that they go on infinitely. It just keeps repeating itself. Except, unlike our last mirror, the repeating of the self is constantly changing because it's picking up its all along the way. And it plays with the its, and if it's a smart Tao, it will dispose of the it and move along, trusting there'll be plenty of its.
Yeah, you can't get away from them.
There you have it.
Seems that way wherever we turn, there is an it in our life, every moment of our life. I work in an office here at Lupin, helping out and greeting guests. The office is filled with its. There's so many things in the office. Some of them are functional, and some of them nobody knows why they're there, but they just stay there because they've always been there. It's like nobody goes, what is this? Do we really need it? Once in a while, there is a person who does that, and then they get rid of it. That's all there is to it when they get rid of it. And there you have it.
There's nothing there.
There's always something to take its place. Something is more functional than the it they got rid of.
But it's important to remind us, as Van Morrison can only do, to keep it simple.
Lucky when I was singing this song, trying to get back to something more simple than we have, they mocked me, cause I told it like it was. Roll about disappointment and grief, roll about what we really didn't need. Can our lives make us feel alive and whole? Illusions and pipe dreams on the one hand, and straight reality is always cold. Saying something hard is off the wall, and it might seem too bold. Mock me when it got out of hand, nobody tried to understand. Now we've got to keep it simple, and that's that. Something hard is off the wall, and it just might be too bold. Oh, I'm out here on the running board. Well, I've been there a time before, but got to keep it simple to save ourselves. Mark me when I try to get back. Said the train was completely off the track, and we got to get back something simple to save ourselves. Oh, we got to get back nothing simple just to save yourself. Well, I got to get back to something simple just to save yourself.
Van Morrison, Keep It Simple. Good message. He says, they mocked me when I was singing the songs, trying to get back to something more simple than we have. They mocked me because I told it like it was. Wrote about disappointment and greed. Wrote about what we really didn't need in our lives. Make us feel alive and whole. Illusions and pipe dreams on the one hand, and straight reality is always cold. Interesting. Saying something hard-edged is off the wall. It might seem too bold. We got to get back to something simple just to save ourselves. There you have it.
One of the things that I'm aware of is that one person's idea of simple may not be another person's idea of simple. What is simple? It's a strange word. Simple means not complicated. But if a person's mind can absorb everything in front of them, it's not complicated. So to that person, it's very simple. Like a physicist puts a whole bunch of numbers on the board and it's real simple. To me, it's not simple at all. My world, because I can navigate it easily and not get lost, can be very simple. But that same world to someone else is unnavigable and very difficult.
I notice that after I've learned how to make something work or to fix something, it's so easy. It's like, oh, that's how you do it. There you have it.
And then if you teach it to somebody else and they grasp what you're talking about, it's that way for them too. But if they don't, it's not simple at all. Say simple was subjective?
Of course. That's why it gets along with everybody.
So there you have it.
Everybody can use it, use the idea, but they can make it to be whatever they want. It's one of those great words that's truly a democratic word, the word simple, for which we're grateful. But you wanted to know, what is simple? Here's a way to feel it just a little bit. Now here we have an extraordinary duet. Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, and Alison Krauss are going to sing to us about simple gifts. Yo-Yo Ma with Alison Krauss. Guess which one was which?
It is a gift to be simple.
It seems to me that it's uncluttered, the simple. It's not complicated, and yet it can be extraordinarily complex.
Think of the people who created that.
Who?
The Shakers.
Quaker Shakers?
No, not the Quaker Shakers, the Shaker Shakers. And they didn't last very long because part of their simplicity was not having sex.
Are they the ones that told us to throw the salt over your shoulder from the salt? Are they that ones?
No, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, he's just slightly cuckoo.
No, I'm not cuckoo. What about you, Barney? You haven't said anything tonight. Well, I was thinking about this very thing here just a little while ago. There you have it. We were having some beers with some of my buddies. Yeah, we're sitting around the table, and they're talking, you know, the election and Trump, and, yeah, he's a tough guy. We need a tough guy in there. There was the guys from a different neighborhood, but they were the same place, you know, so there was another guy there. It was like into Bernie Sanders. And he was saying, oh, no, we got to split it up, and we got the 1%, you know, and here you got the 1%. He's saying this to everybody at the table. Who is the one who's running for the office over there? What's wrong with this picture? Well, the other guy, the Trump guy, was very insulted. But fortunately, he has anger as an ally and blame. And because he's they're very good at that there, those guys there. Anger and blame. And the people are angry right now, and they want to blame somebody. So there are these folks coming in from across the borders, one way or the other. Into here, until you talked about the European Union over there. They're coming across the borders. They don't know what to do with them. They don't know whether to treat them as thous and bring them in, or whether to treat them as its and send them back. So there you have it.
Well, that's the big it that you have on that one. We had somebody come here and wanted to live here. When we wanted to do a background check on her, we realized she didn't have a social security number. She didn't have a license. She was an it.
And she didn't have a liver. She actually lost the...
Errol, that's not true.
Oh, it's a kidney.
No, it's not true. Oh. And I realized how quickly she became an it, because she didn't have an identification to belong here. She didn't belong anywhere, and yet she'd been here a long time. It was very odd. It made me uncomfortable.
Well, that's curious. What was it about it that caused you discomfort?
The discomfort was that somehow or other, she didn't seem to want to belong, but she wanted all the benefits of belonging.
Not an uncommon trait amongst many of us. See, we want the opposite in the world, but not of it in that regard, because mm-hmm. we want the benefits, but we don't want to be in it.
Yeah.
We just want to be of it. Take some other stuff that's of it.
Seems that way. Yeah, it was rather disturbing. I felt that maybe the fact that I could be taken advantage of by this person. Because of it, because of her, I wouldn't say disdain, but her desire not to buy into the system that said you have to be it.
Right. Sign here. Now we're sort of getting into the political arena, so I wonder if Senator Beauregard, you're kind of on top of this, being a senator and all. Well, thank you, Errol. It's always good to check in with y'all here. It's just as bad as it always has been. It's no worse, really. It's always people struggling to get along with each other. And that's what it's always been. And there's always some particular situation that exacerbates the conflict in the way people are treating each other. But I'd like to remind you folks out there that it's still possible to awaken in ourselves that sense of mission that arises actually right out of this simplicity. The mission that we are on the cusp, the leading edge of evolution. We're as far as evolution has gotten right here, as myself anyway. We have been invited to just thrust out like a rocket ship into eternal space and just keep pumping ourselves and interacting, and don't get attached to any of the its, because they're all passing fancy. And you know how fancy passing fancy is, don't you? It is so fancy that it just gets everybody's attention. And that's why when they're passing by, And that's why they call it the passing fancy. There you have it.
There you have it. Well, that was pretty silly. I think that having it is what runs most people. Having whatever they decide is it, is intention. It runs them. It's their engine.
What is this them, Kemosabe?
The it, whatever it is. I don't know what it is anymore. It's a strange thing I've been going through, and I have talked to you about it before. I'd like to talk to you again. I feel like I'm floating. I don't feel so much that I'm lost. I don't feel grounded the way I might have at one time. And maybe it's because I don't have enough its around me.
Trust me, you have a lot of its around you. I think you can put that point of view at rest.
Well, the its that were part of who I thought I was is not with me.
When I think of an it, for example, I have an idea of something that I think I would want. But it's just an it in my mind. It's just an image that I'm attracted to. Not only is it an it, but it's an image of an it. You know what that is? That's the another side of the it.
It's an it once removed.
No, it's a nitwit. Or, as we like to say, a knit it.
God. How did you get there?
And don't you forget it. We said it here on Inside Out, the Naked Truth. And not an it, although they make its, go raw. If you're going to have an it, and you want it to be like really not only wholesome, but tasty, that's like the best of two it worlds.
It's not cooked past a certain degree, so it retains all its nutrients, and it is raw food at its best.
We gave it the third degree, but it just wouldn't break. It just continued to be its own thing. And we are dealing with an issue that is so in our face. I get these notes every day from Universe Spirit, or their website is Job One for Humanity, which you want to go to. But you need to be prepared because it can be very alarming.
Well, sobering is a good word.
So you may not actually want to be sober when you visit that site. Maybe just take the edge off.
We want to stay with our heads in the earth like ostriches because we don't know what to do. And the good thing about Universe Spirit is they do let you know what you can do. You're not helpless. You can do things. That's very moralizing rather than demoralizing.
And they've stepped up to the plate of going, we need to recognize this, like Leonardo DiCaprio. At his Oscar acceptance speech, that's the thing he chose to mention to us, to use this platform where we would have probably billions of people watching him. And he's a conscious guy. He said, hey, we got some weather coming. We'd best look into that. And then to unpack that, what a challenge that is, that whole dynamic that has led to this in terms of the industrial period and fossil fuel and all that release and all these ways we've go about becoming very successful in the industrial age, which we can see because of all the its, the millions and millions of its that have been produced by industrialization.
Right, and you can still produce its and take into account how it is going to affect another it, like the it of pollution affecting the earth in which we live. And then it affects us and we can't breathe and we run into all sorts of problems. That's something that one learns as we get older and wiser as a race of people, as a species, not as individuals necessarily. The impact my actions have on something bigger than us.
It's taking responsibility. See, that's what is the problem. There are these powers, companies, businesses that making a terrible mess and haven't taken responsibility. Now it's starting to change. They're getting their face rubbed in it too. They're not stupid people. We're all starting to face it. But here's the piece I want to look at. And it's coming at it from an integral perspective. And that is, we see this evolution of these particular frames. If you know about spiral dynamics, go find it or contact me, eastrider@gmail.com. because it helps to see where we are in these evolutionary stages. There was the basic stage, nutrition, then we had security, and then we had the power down stage, monarchs and all that. Then we had the Enlightenment, it's called the Orange Mean, where we have rational democracy. And then we have like this new consciousness that's waking, that's the sensitive inner person as well as the environment, realizing that, hey, we are actually making a mess that we really need to take responsibility for. So the breakthrough opportunity is that the problem is so powerful, so universal. It's like the old statement where it says God recognizes no person, well, this problem recognizes no individual. It will force us to go to the next stage of evolution, which is a state of cooperative and creative interaction that we have to use together in order to solve these problems. There you have it. But it's important to remember, though, that no matter what, we can have a good time.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm so happy, oh, happy, that lucky me. I just go my way, living every day. I don't worry, worrying don't agree. Things that bother you never bother me. Things that bother you never bother me. I feel happy and fine, ha-ha. Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time. Having got a lot, I don't need a lot, coffee's only a dime. Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time. Just take it from me, I'm just as free as any daughter. I do what I like, just what I like, and how I love it. I'm right here to stay when I'm on the way. I'll be right in my prime. Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time. Just take it from me, I'm just as free as any daughter. I do what I like, just what I like, and how I love it. I'm right here to say when I'm old and gray, I'll be right in my prime. Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time.
Tiny Tim, having a good time.
I had no idea that was Tiny Tim. There is something about entering into union with others to confront a problem creatively, because each of us has their own way of dealing with it. And when we share that, solutions lie in that shared consciousness. It's very exciting many times. So things happen, and then we're forced to turn around and say, okay, let's work together.
And we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth. You can get a hold of us, estrider@gmail.com. Go to our website, thelaughingheart.org. And that having been said, what do we need to remember, Rochelle?
Resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.